Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine.
We're on. Okay, Julie, wake up.
We're going to have Robert Spencer on, but he's sick. So he will be on next week. We're trying to book him for next week. But wanted to start off talking about House Bill 1312 and the Colorado GOP being MIA in the whole thing. We talked a little bit about that before. But as we are speaking, House Bill 1312 is being discussed. I don't think they're debating it because Democrats really don't debate.
There are no debate, you know, at all. The legislature, have ever been down there? There's no debate.
Right. There are a lot, but this is the bill that that theoretically provides protections to transgender children. Some of the more outrageous provisions of the bill are that if a parent does not respect even the 2-year-old saying, "Oh, I'm a boy," then they could lose custody. All kinds of horrific things included in this bill. Now, some of that is being taken in and out again as they're going through it. But what's interesting is they've gone apparently now to their fourth overflow room. The place is just, I mean, literally like dozens and dozens and dozens of people have showed up to testify against it. There was a big news conference, Brandi Bradley, Scott Bottom, some of the great grassroots warriors down at the state capitol organized a press conference that initially Scott Bottom says they weren't going to let him have, but then they did, with all kinds of organizations showing up to protest this bill.
You've been down there, Julie, and you've watched the hearings and so forth. And usually, now this one, they may get a lot of publicity, so they may be on best behavior, but they're incredibly rude.
Oh, they don't care. Democrat lawmakers don't care.
Don't care. I mean, they just, you know, you have a police chief come up there and they kind of go, you know, yeah, get off the stand, you know.
No, they're incredibly rude and they play video games on their cell phones like that. But this one, and you know, I don't know, sometimes they may not be on their best behavior, but this is a kind of bill that's basically like everyone opposes it, right? I mean, this is a kind of issue that it polls badly. People, no one thinks that if you're 2 year old, if you and your wife are going through a divorce and your 2 year old tells the wife, allegedly, because you're not there, so you didn't hear it, that, "Oh, now I'm a boy." And then you say, "No, you're not, you know, Elizabeth, you're a girl," that boom, you can lose custody of the child in a court case. And there's just all kinds of other, and it's a ridiculous bill.
You can also lose it to the state.
Oh, you can. Forget exactly. You could lose it to a Jefferson County teachers organization.
Yeah, they'll teach you some sex ed.
Right, exactly.
Some hands-on sex ed.
And so that's what's going on right now. This is the kind of bill that basically no one is in favor of, except for radical Democrats. And I think this is...
I think you're wrong. I think it has enormous support within the Democratic Party.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're all radical.
Well, you're not radical if you're part of the mainstream, the Democratic Party.
Well, the Democrat Party is radical now, too. And here's a word of warning I would have about this bill as well. And we've seen this before. I mean, it started out as gay rights. Okay, all right, everybody, okay, people should have rights, et cetera, et cetera. But it's this slippery slope that they've gone now to. And for instance, now you can't talk about people. Scott Bottoms was prohibited from saying the word groomers, even talking about the gays against groomers. He couldn't even say the name of the organization. All of a sudden, there were all of these protections for pedophiles, essentially, in California, right? They wanted to make it a felony to be sex trafficking children, and the Democrats there are opposed to that. Well, there's only one, that's a slippery slope leading down into pedophilia, right?
Did you realize that when you were a strong supporter of gay marriage?
I don't want to get diverted into all of that. I still think people who are gay should be able to get married. Yes, I do. But
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you realize that your strong support for it is part of the slippery slope.
Oh, I know, I would disagree with this.
Well, then what's the slippery slope?
The slippery slope is when you keep going down. If you stop and say, okay, here's where I stop. You can say that, I mean, you can do that with anything, right? You could say, well, all we could do is sit in our basement and never do anything. I mean, you just stop. But what we wanted to talk about today is this would be the kind of bill that you would think. I mean, all of the grassroots Republicans are opposed to this bill, speaking out loudly opposed to this bill. All kinds of Republican organizations, parents' rights organizations are speaking out opposed to this bill. This would be an easy one for the new leadership of the Colorado Republican Party to get on board with, right? To say that, hey, we're opposed to this too. Everyone else is opposed to it, so we want to be opposed to it too. Even if they don't even ever have read it. This should be a no-brainer. They are absent. I checked with some people who were at the news conference this morning. There was no sign of Britta Horn or anybody representing the new Colorado Republican Party leadership.
Other leadership. Yeah.
Other leadership. At the hearing, nobody there. Now, you may like or not like Dave Williams, but I guarantee you, this is the kind of thing that he, Darcy, Anna, and Hope were all over and were speaking out loudly to protect parents' rights and to protect children.
Press release. They went out to every Republican.
Exactly. They would have all been going on, but under this new leadership, no. And it's not that they are asleep at the wheel. This is their new policy, right?
Well, I don't have the quotes in front of me, but first, you had Krista at the Jefferson County Men's Breakfast. Britta saying that, you know, we're not going to take advocacy positions. That's what the past two chairs, which means KBB. So they're not, we're just a well-oiled machine. Our only job is to get Republicans elected, regardless of what they believe. If they believe in transgenderism, get them
if
elected.
If the donors want us to get them elected, we'll get them elected. Yeah, that's our thing. So we don't want to
get even
bogged down in pesky policies or issues.
No. I mean, other than enunciating your ideology and what you believe in, what else does a party do other than try to get people elected? And if they don't stand for anything, and these people don't stand for anything, they say we stand for nothing.
And that's their official policy. That's not us making that up. That's their official policy. We don't stand for anything, and we're not going to stand for anything. But then Phelan, the new vice chair, took it a step further and was replying to somebody who said, where are you guys on some of these issues? Guns, Tabor. I mean, even if you don't want to go down the transgender route, you got at least Tabor. Everybody supports that. Colorado voters keep keeping it, right? And the Democrats keep attacking it. But nope, we're not going to talk on that. And he said they couldn't because they were not registered lobbyists.
And since I've been a registered lobbyist, because I used to go down to the Capitol and advocate for various towns, Glendale, Central City, and some others, you know, it is interesting. You have to understand the law, which people don't really understand. The law can be stretched and pulled any way you really want to. Usually, I mean, the statute doesn't make clear other than you're advocating positions to government officials and elected representatives, but it had been interpreted that you had to be doing it on behalf of others who are paying you, either paying your expenses, paying something else. If you're just a volunteer going down to the legislature and acting on something, you did not have to register as a lobbyist, and it was ridiculous. Now, you have to remember Democrats are great for stretching things. So, example, the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which was, you know, a mothball one that had been adopted before World War II to get Nazis, all of a sudden was brought out by the Justice Department to attack various Republicans. And in fact, there was one Republican who published an article, opinion piece in a paper that the North Koreans wanted to have an opinion on. And they said that was a violation. Everybody's shocked. Just giving an opinion in the newspaper is a potential violation of FARA. It's really kind of come a lot of ways, but no one in Colorado has ever interpreted just writing an opinion piece. Or maybe we can put Dick Wadhams in jail. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
John Caldera, we could put them all. I mean, everyone goes to jail.
Everyone goes to jail. You little kid, I like Trump, jail. But even if the farthest stretches of vague statutes, Phelan, just register. It takes about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just register. You have to quarterly reports about the compensation you're receiving, since you're not receiving any compensation, you would just file these blank reports. But it isn't that, oh, we're stopped. No, you're not. Just register if you're so terrified of ever saying a word to yourself.
Right.
I mean, it's a new low for the Republican Party. Honestly, even for the establishment rhinos, this is a world-class low.
Exactly. And you, if people want to comment, and I'll read your comments here. If you want to come on, go ahead and
register. Because, register as a lobbyist, be lobbying Chuck and Julie.
You can raise your hand, or you can just unmute yourself and jump in.
Or you can pay us.
But you're right. I mean, let's go back. I mean, even KBB, although her positions were wishy-washy, she had at least positions.
Yeah.
She never tried to claim they shouldn't have positions, right? She had whatever her 10 things were.
Yeah, it turned
Ryan Call.
10 bland bromides.
Right. Ryan Call, even though his positions were largely Democrat positions, he at least had positions, right? I mean, never before has the Republican Party said, our position is we will be taking...
We have no position.
We have no position. And this is from Charlene. She says, yeah, essentially you get elected based on what you believe in. And she said, all they can take a stand on is to be against the grassroots leadership. Oh, yeah, they don't have a problem doing that. They don't have a problem taking a stand with Dave derangement syndrome. And I don't know, and Mark Camden, I'm going to pick on you because I see you listening, and just ignore me.
We caught you, Mark.
Mark is the Parker Conservatives, the Honey Badger Report, and I got to tell you guys, the Honey Badger Report is on fire.
On fire
this month.
It's on Rhino Watch and everywhere else.
It's on Rhino Watch, and I encourage you to subscribe so it'll come right into your email box. But Mark, you had some thoughts on this as well. This, like, we don't take any position, right?
Yeah, you know. What, to Chuck's point, what is the point? If you're not going to have positions, we might as well not have a party. I mean, that's my position. Oh, well, no, I can't have a position because I'm not a paid lobbyist. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, just sit there and basically they're just trying to hide because what they're trying to do is, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, so therefore I'm not going to have an opinion. And it's just like, well, not having an opinion is really having an opinion. That's, you just shows you you're blank, that you got nothing between your ears.
Yes.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And it's sickening. You know, I just, right before you guys signed on, I just got this email from Britta, and it's called First 100 Day Report.
This ought to be good.
Or no, 30 Day Report. I'm sorry. The First 30 Day Report.
Okay.
And it goes through, and you guys are going to have to take a look at. So they have all the disbursements that the last administration had, you know, for staples. They spent $226 up for staples on 337. I mean, I don't know what these folks are trying to do. I mean, they're doing nothing, really.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
they're saying they're doing nothing. They're just oiling the machine.
It's a well-oiled machine.
I mean,
yeah, the Republican Party is not a machine.
Well,
it may be shitty. It may be awful. It may be wonderful, but it ain't a machine. And there's nothing but oil.
You know, Chuck, where they're getting their oil from, right? They're getting it from Barbara Kirkmeyer, because she's got all their oil up in
Right?
Lowell County.
Yeah,
well, that's what I'm hearing.
And you had something too in the Honey Badger Report, which is good. You know, in her first 30 days, so we've lost registered Republicans, right? And they've spent more money, that they've taken in like $700, something like that.
Yeah,
I thought
it wasn't real good yet. So I decided to start tracking. You know, I always, you know, being a businessman, I was, okay, what are the KPIs here? Well, we're going to get more Republicans. Okay, well, then you made the statement, I'll just start tracking it. I mean, easy to do. And, you know, and then I started looking at the money, and yeah, they had some big disbursements. And part of that's what's creeping up and biting them in your own ass now, is because they downplayed or actually went out against the Lincoln Day dinner. The Centennial dinner. And, you know, they didn't get as many people, because I went through kind of, you know, who paid what.
Well, I was there, and they had an event next door for themselves.
Right.
And so they paid everything themselves, so the party got zero. And then they kind of go, well, there isn't much money. That's the biggest one of, if not the biggest fundraiser for Republicans. And they boycotted. Not only did they boycott it,
but they made people, they encouraged people to not go.
Yeah. I mean, our congressman told him not to come, and he told him to shove it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these they're wonderful. They're just wonderful.
But it was
people.
Their money too, right? I mean, so they.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just it's a huge sucking wound. I mean, when you look at what the fall was on the federal site, month over month, it looks like that what they did is they had to file right when they turned over the books, is what it looked like. And it looked like Dave and the previous officers got everybody paid before that transition. I mean, that's kind of how the books look, which makes sense, right? I mean, right. Those are your vendors. You want to be sure that they get paid. You don't right. want to leave them to the wind if, oh, well, we're not going to pay. You know,
well, that's
so.
What KBB did today, right? When they came
right.
in, they had
well, no,
all these.
She had her attorneys, which was Brownstein, take a bill and rework it for a lot more. Exact same work, nothing changed, and they said, okay, now it was 10,000, now 80,000.
So I think Dave, right. I know they I think intentionally wanted to have everything paid for. So well,
yeah.
And it's and I don't know how they think. And you know, I don't know. Let me ask your opinion there. There's a part of me that thinks that they're not just stupid, but this is intentional. They want to destroy the party because Bart Kirkmeyer wants to get rid of parties and caucuses and assemblies anyway. And so why even if when the point is like we're saying, why have a party? They're like, exactly. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you can kind of see that as the undertow, right? Is, you know, everybody that's getting into power, that's one of the things is, you know, we're not gonna cancel this. We're gonna go ahead and leave it open. And that's their position. So the position people that say they have no positions actually do have a position on this item, right?
Right.
So they can't go around saying they don't have positions because they are advocating for keeping the open primaries. And
well, which is an interesting concept. So now we've got a party through its leadership, but a party that takes no positions. Our candidates will be elected by unaffiliated and Democrats who switch over because Democrats don't do primaries. So a lot of them like to switch over for a few days, vote, and then switch back. And after the candidate comes out, chosen by the unaffiliated and the Democrats, because they outnumber
yeah.
Republicans by a huge percentage, just a huge percentage. Then all the PCPs are all, which are all Republicans. I'm one, Julie's one, maybe you're one. We're supposed to go out and work our butt off for some unaffiliated candidate whose party, our party, stands for nothing. I mean, it makes me want to get out there. I mean, I want to get out there right now.
Yeah. And I'm a PCP, you know, yeah. My wife's a district captain and we walk our neighborhood religiously, you know, and it's about 300 homes or so that we walk. And
yeah,
you're absolutely right. You know, but that's why I've advocated and told people, I says, quit giving to the parties, your local party or the state party. Give to your candidates,
exactly.
The people you want to win. Because if you give the party money, you don't know where that money's going to go.
Oh, we do know. It's going to go to this fancy smancy red curve firm that they hired out of D.C. It's going to go to their new social media
M2.
Person. You know,
M squared.
Yeah. Some PR firm that's now sending out emails to solicit money too. I mean, you're absolutely right. It will make being a PCP easier because one of the things people talk about is, you know, it could be kind of hard. You knock on doors and people say, well, how do you stand on this and how do you stand on that? And now you would say, oh, we don't have a position. It's like, what's your stance on abortion? We don't have one. You know, what's your stance on climate change? We don't have one. What's your stance on Trump? We don't have one.
What's your stance on murder?
What's your stance on the open primary? Oh, we don't want the open primary. We want to keep that one. We do have a position on that.
I mean, it's just amazing. And this M squared, which stands for a woman's name.
Madison Meeks,
who has blonde hair, but looks suspiciously like Jordan Hudson. Bill Belichick's 20-year-old.
Chuck's obsessed with this.
Yeah, I heard his rant on Monday on that
hair, but very similar.
Completely is finding a reason to stick in Bill Belichick's girlfriend into every conversation.
Well, I'm jealous. I mean, they fired the prior coach, Mac Brown. And I went to school with Mac Brown because he was too old, and so they hired Belichick, who was 6 months younger. Now we're going younger, much younger. We'll go 6 months younger. I mean, it's just great. But But Madison Meeks and Jordan Hudson.
Jeez, I don't know if you know what we're talking about. Madison Meeks is a head of a PR company that we've had some people who are Republican Party donors getting emails from her saying that she'll help set up a meeting with Britta so they can donate money. It's
yeah,
like, no, I don't
got,
know why.
I received that one as well.
Okay. So I don't know why Britta can't send out her own emails asking for money.
Well, I don't know why Bill Belichick can't answer his own questions in an interview on CBS, but they can't. So you have to accept that.
Well, let me mark before, because anyway, just kind of drew you into this. Your thoughts on, I mean, and again, I encourage everybody, the Honey Badger is just great. I mean, you had all kinds of stuff in there. But just in general,
how do you think they're hitting the ground here?
Yeah, they're
first our unified days. Team
yeah, the
is unity. Bringing us all together.
Oh, yeah, the whole unity thing. Yeah, bend the knee to me is what it's really called. there is no unity. It is capitulation. Call it what it is. That's what they want. They really don't want anything to do with our stances as far as grassroots goes. We're just seen as that pesky fly, and they want to swat us, and they want us to go away. And if we can't, you know, they just are going to try to shove us off to the side and say, you know, you don't need to worry about these people. But what they need to understand is I really, truly believe there's more of us than there is of them. And they need to wake up and understand it, that, yeah, they may have won this with some shenanigans they pulled up in Weld and some of the other things that they did.
Right. Yeah.
But the end of the day, for them to get anything passed at the SEC meetings, I don't think that they're going to get it passed. Not unless we have a lot of the grassroots people. Effect.
I think that they
else.
Just had, and
yeah,
in fact,
that.
Interestingly, so one of the things that helped push this, and this is a bit in the weeds, but just so folks understand, that helped push this unity Rhino ticket through was the elected officials who normally don't care at all
yeah.
about Colorado Republican Party meetings, but they did because they all dislike Dave. But when they're not around to vote, the grassroots win. They had over the weekend electing members of this the smaller SEC, the state executive committee.
Representative for small
and they had the counties, large counties voted, and then small counties voted.
Just go through that. You have a state executive committee composed of about 25 people. I was on it for about 4 years, and various categories. Some get elected from congressional districts. Some are appointed by the chair, and some are elected. The small counties get together and elect a representative. The big counties get together and elect a representative. And the key to harmony, because in the first 2 years I was on KBB, and I was the biggest pain in the ass they had. So they hated me, but it was fun. It was fun just, you know, saying, KBB, what do you mean the attorneys are your attorneys? Aren't they our attorneys? And she'd get all flustered and everything else. So it was more fun. And then they redistricted me out of CD7. And they were all happy. I didn't know I was that effective.
But
and then I was chosen by Dave in one of his picks. And then I was one of the cool kids. I was an inside kid, you know, helping to run everything. So I've been in the yin and the yang. But... you do not want a state executive committee that's hound-dogging you if you're the chair. You don't. I mean, you're going to have a couple, and inevitably they'll get through. But, boy, if they lost a small county representative and the big county representatives,
they went
I was flying solo opposing KBB. But you get two, three, or four, they can really... Really,
yeah. So over the weekend, apparently, yeah, the grassroots won the county,
the big county
and the small county.
So
that goes to your point. There are more of us than there are of them. So.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like I said, one of my pieces, you know, they don't want me on anything. I fully get that. It's okay.
Okay.
But, you know, what they don't understand is once I latch on, one of the things I'll just, you know, that. Especially our local representatives, Douglas County. When I latch on, I don't let go. I will ride them until they capitulate or they leave office. It's pretty binary. Either you somehow capitulate or you leave office. I mean, or I guess there is a third. You could actually get on the bandwagon, represent conservative values and principles.
What is that?
And I'll leave you that. You know, and I'll leave you alone. But, you know, some of the stuff that they come up with these days and some of the things that they vote for, it's just, they just think they can get away with it, that it's only going to last a news cycle. And they got used to that for many, many years. And is I preach to people all the time when I go and I speak to groups. It says, once if you're going to get into the fight, you stay in the fight and you fight it every day, every week. You can't let go and you can't let them rest,
right?
Because that's what they're waiting for. Like this whole, what is it, 86 that they're kicking down right. the road to the end of the session. Well, right. their hope, you know, that's so transparent. What they're hoping is that that kind of gets wrapped up in everything else at the end of the session when they're working 48 hours straight to try to get the, you know, everything cleared right. out, and they'll get a vote and it'll go without fanfare. Right.
Right. And well, I'm like, be stuck into something else. You're absolutely.
Yeah.
And all of your, and this is the one that basically was going to allow Facebook and YouTube to become the police essentially. Right. And crack down on if they didn't like posts.
And
we all saw how.
And who supported that?
Your Douglas County.
Oh concern. Yeah. Frizzell and Hartsuck, or Hartsuck as we call them around us.
Hartsuck. Yeah.
You know, it's terrible, you know, and we had another one at the Senate voted on is where they changed the language for the state of Colorado for marriage, and they removed man and a woman out of that bill. I don't know if you caught that one. It's on Parker Conservatives. I wrote about it. And Frizzell and Carson are two senators, and Carson's been up there just since what, December. And it's like, hey, you're following the wrong person, John. You need to be following Baisley.
Yeah, exactly.
Get with somebody that's going to lead you down the right road.
Right, exactly. Well, and you kind of wonder, somebody real quick, and I know I keep saying we're going to let you go, but somebody was looking at the money that Lisa Frizzell was getting from somebody, which might have explained why she was supporting the social media becoming, you know, our police department bill. So as always, follow the money.
Yeah. Yeah, follow the money every time. Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the things that's great about Tracer. But, you know, there's so many other ways for them to get money that's not direct. So it gets a little hard. So thank you for anybody that goes out there to do that research. There's some people out there that are really good at it and finding all those little things and then putting them out there for us to see. So thank you very much for that, because it does take all of us. I mean, we all have our strengths. And we just all have to work together to keep pounding on these guys.
All right, we're going to do that.
Well, it was one more thing.
One more
oh,
thing.
Is it still about your favorite football coach?
Yeah.
Well, no. Because Peter Boyles said, hey, are you listening to Manny Connell? And nobody listens to Manny Connell, right? I mean, just not here. But Trader Todd Watkins and what's her name? Natalie
Tennant.
And Natalie Tennant was begging for somebody to pay attention to her. She said, I know I got a big target on my back and everybody be attacking me. She's so desperate for attention that she's no different than, well, I don't know, Bill Belichick's girlfriend. So if please, she doesn't care if it's negative. She doesn't care what you call her or anything else. But, you know, it's a cry for attention and help. So please, please write some honey badger thing and mentions it or something.
Just, all right, Chuck, for you, you know, I'll get something in there and I'll just say, you know, for Chuck.
For Chuck. Mark, hey, thank you. Thank you for all that you do.
Take care.
Appreciate you.
Oh, all right. Thank you, guys. Right. You guys take care. Have a good show.
Thank you. Yeah, so check out the Honey Badger Report and sign up so it goes straight into your news, into your newsletter too.
All right, who else can be sucked into the show?
Okay. Yeah, really. Well, and as we go, we're going to switch gears a little bit too, because I want to talk about Trump's 100 days of winning. But again, feel free, open your microphone, pop in a comment here. So Trump is having a news conference. And I thought this was funny. Marco Rubio, not a news conference, but a meeting of the whole cabinet on the 100 days, right? And Marco Rubio actually cracked a joke. He was like, he was saying he's afraid to eat, because they were eating stuff. He's afraid to eat anything in front of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. but he told them the Tootsie Rolls were okay in moderation. But you know, they were going down the winning. And it's just, even with the anytime an economic report comes out, anytime anything comes out, they try to twist it around. The Democrats have finally told their people, quit going to El Salvador. We're not winning on that one. You know, we're looking stupid on that. And it has just been 100 days of winning. Trump moved so fast. Now they're telling him you should quit, just get rid of the writ of habeas corpus. And Trump's like, maybe I will. I mean, he just trolls them endlessly. One of my favorite things he did two things. And we'll play some ABC sound bites here in a minute. But when you're at the state, when you're in Washington, D.C., you can't just take a camera and a tripod and put it anywhere. Everything's like a park, so you have to have permits. And plus, that you have what they call the cable drops, right? So all of the networks and all of the various news organizations have spots on the White House lawn that's sort of their designated spot for their live shots. And what Trump people did is they took and they put it, they printed up giant posters of illegal alien criminals, and they lined where all the reporters stand, all of these posters with these illegal alien criminals. So there was no way they could do their live shot without showing them. Now, if you're a reporter, there's always stuff in the background, and the way you handle it, usually you just ignore it, right? You just don't even reference it, right? But instead, the liberal media, MSNBC, they melted down. They made, if they had said nothing about it, no one would have even noticed, right? But they had such a meltdown over it, they blurred the faces and all of this, and in so doing, they make themselves look just ridiculous.
The Barbara Streisand effect.
Yeah, exactly. And no one, oh, look here.
All right.
There we go.
She's fishing. She'd be the opposite way. Well, she ought to have her have the hook in his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say they've got somebody else taking their picture, so she's working it. But at any rate, the other thing that Trump did, he did an interview with ABC's Terry Moran. And first he starts off by saying, he goes, I didn't even know who you were. I did you a big favor by doing this interview because I never heard of you before, which probably isn't true. He probably heard of Terry Moran. But he just beat him up so badly every time he tried to do it. And Trump is so good at this anymore. So Doug, if we could please play, I'm going to play some of the sound for you. The ABC number one soundbite.
Fraud is a crime. There have been no referrals to the Justice Department at any.
Well, you don't know that, do you? How do you know that?
Have there been referrals to the? Are there criminal referrals?
How would you know that? That there were no referrals. I think there were referrals.
They generally are. There's been no investigation from the Justice Department.
How do you know that?
I'm asking you, sir.
No, you're not asking me. You made a statement. You're not.
Now I'm asking you.
That was a statement that you made. There had been.
I'm asking you.
Have there been? Yes, there have.
I mean, what a way to play the reporter. Other people would get defensive, and Trump just turns around and is like, how do you know? How do you know?
Yeah, well, really.
You see the reporter's like, how do I know?
Well, I'm asking. No, you didn't ask. You just made a statement.
And then he said, well, there have been. And now the reporter's stumped because he can't really challenge him. I mean,
no, well, they're not. Well, I don't know if they're not. But,
and then it gets even worse. And then he calls him out again because he knows no one trusts him.
And then he asks him about Bill Belichick's girlfriend. Do you have that one?
No, okay. Play the ABC number two soundbite.
The reputation of the United States has gone down. Under your presence.
I think it's gone way up, but I think we're a respected country again. We were laughed at all over the world. We had a president that couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, couldn't walk down a flight of stairs, couldn't walk across the stage without falling. We had a president that was grossly incompetent. You knew it, I knew it, and everybody knew it, but you guys didn't want to write it because you're fake news. All right.
Point well taken.
I was trying to talk about, but there again, it's a typical thing. ABC says the reputation has gone down around the world. It's like they just say stuff like that, right? And they're used to being able to just say stuff like that. And Trump's like, no, it hasn't. Just like they're like, oh, the GDP is not as big. It's like, well, I mean, that's a complicated story. And you know, they have all these polls now, right? Trump is polling worse than anyone. And then the Rasmussen had a poll that said how many people believe the polls are manipulated. And it was like 83% or something like that. 72% said the polls are manipulated by whoever is orchestrating them to manipulate opinion, basically. So it's just ridiculous. And Trump just sees that. And he keeps, in the meantime, getting stuff done. And they keep trying to tell people. They had some town hall where like, well, you're worse off than you were 100 days ago. And they're like, no, things are better.
Are you waiting for these terrible cost increases? Is it terrible? What are you talking about?
Exactly.
The gas is cheaper. Everything else is cheaper.
So the courts can tie him up all they want, but I think he's accomplishing things.
Well, what I really like is they have the endless search The federal government's this huge morass with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of little pockets of advisory committee things and ones. And so, for example, the credit union has, as a watchdog agency. So he looked through that and threw off all the Democrats, and they're all crying and whining. And there was then there's this other one. There was 2017. There was a bill, a law called the Women, Peace, and Security, a very august one, and bipartisan support. Marco Rubio supported it in the Senate. There were various Republicans who were in the cabinet who supported it in the House, and Trump signed this. And this was early on in his administration when he thought...
Before, the first administration.
First administration, early on when he thought that, you know, if I'm nice to them, they'll be nice to me. And so big heads came in and said, we're getting rid of that. And they went bonkers. They went bonkers. So I went and listened to one of their symposiums, and all these really far lefties. How do we get more women everywhere? There must be 50% of women everywhere, and no toxic, you know. I mean, they're all extreme lefties. And him getting rid of that one, they can't totally get rid of it because of it. It's a statute, but you can gut it totally. And there are hundreds of people who are hired under this to go around pushing around, you know, the military. You know, they're always nice whoever's the head of the thing, and then they push around everybody else, and they don't get what they want. They go to the heads going, they're obstructing. We agreed upon, generally. Oh, bastard, I'll get him.
Well, and Hegseth is, you know, they're attacking him. And here again, Trump, they think that, you know, that if any day now Trump is going to fire Hegseth, no. And apparently at the cabinet meeting today, he introduced Hegseth and he said, my least controversial cabinet pick, which is just a joke. You know, and then he's good. And the media, and I'm just going to kind of say, the people who are jumping all over Pam Bondi on the Epstein stuff, I think that we need to not lose sight of the winnings, right? I mean, there's some people like, I don't care what Trump has done. They haven't released the Epstein files. I got to imagine that there's some complications there, or who knows, right? And it's like, and maybe somebody's paying somebody. I just don't get the impression that Trump is withholding anything for reasons that somebody's blackmailing him.
Well, you never know what's going on.
Yeah, can I say something really quick about the Jeffrey Epstein thing?
Yeah, go ahead,
Bondi. Pam Bondi is getting letters daily for cease and desist.
What do you mean? You
know, there's the people they know that are on the list, those they're lawyering up, and the lawyers are sending a cease and desist lawyer, and she's getting them daily.
That, you know, that makes, well, that's what, you know, I had read a thing from somebody who was saying, and it was a columnist, so it wasn't anybody who like had firsthand knowledge, but they were indicating something like that too, that one of the things they want to be able to do is not just release them, but actually go ahead and charge some people, and they need to build their case. And that makes a lot of sense too. If they've got lawyers, you've got to fight those battles quietly.
And if I were Pam Bondi, I would take all those cease and desist letters and make them public. And then,
there you go. There you go.
All right,
yeah, that's a good idea.
Thank you, Jacob. Yep. Well, and maybe, you know, maybe that's what they're working on too.
Well, and of course, the real question, the one we never get, you know, yes, we want to get all the middle-aged men who want to have relations with young women. But more importantly, is that everybody seems to indicate it's a blackmail operation run by Mossad with the help of the CIA.
Right.
So let's see that part. I mean, that's right. The really important part.
Right.
It's not.
Was Epstein allowed to do this?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And back to the winning, though, I think there are trickle down effects here. I wanted to bring a couple things up here. And these are things that sound small, but I think are huge when you look at, for instance, the illegal immigration thing. So ICE is fining three Denver companies $8 million because they hired a total between the three of them, 150 illegal aliens.
Well, you keep on doing that, and the illegal aliens will be going home. If you can get the employers who knowingly, and they're all knowingly,
right,
go out there.
And that's the kind of thing where if you're Trump, you don't have to battle with the judge over that, right?
You'd have to battle.
Is you just let a company know because Biden just ignored it, right? So you just
ignored it. He paid him $8 million.
Yeah, exactly. So if you just let a company know that you're going to, you keep scooching over.
I'm scooching everywhere.
You're going to be fined now if you hire people who are not here legally or don't have the legal documentation, you're going to be fined, then they'll quit hiring them, right?
Yes, they will.
And another thing, and this is something I've been advocating for a while. So in the city of Aurora, they have what they call regarding the vehicles, a three strike law, right? If you're driving a vehicle, you don't have a driver's license, you don't have insurance, you don't have registration, and you can't go get them, right? They're seizing your car. And they've seized
it. And there's a part B to it. If you have a nice car they like, the cops like, no. They can seize that one too and claim you didn't have the other ones. And then you got to try to get to them fast enough. So
they've seized 1,000 vehicles so far. And that's another kind of thing where if you are here, and what these are for the most part, are these are people who are here illegally and they can't get, or some of them maybe have lost their license for DUIs or traffic violations, things like that.
Right.
But if you can't get a license, you can't get insurance, you can't get registration. Number one, that's why our insurance is so high, right? Because of all of the uninsured vehicles that
are
out there.
Our insurance is so high because you just got another ticket.
I know. I'm sorry. Had nothing. I was innocent. No, I wasn't actually innocent, but it was one of them. It was a traffic defective vehicle thing. But at any rate, they didn't seize it. I had my license, I had my registration, and I had my proof of insurance, so they couldn't take my car. But that's the kind of thing though, where again, it's you don't need, maybe at some point a judge will tell them they can't keep doing that. But I don't know what their grounds would be, right? It's the law.
It's the law. The cops can take your car if they want to.
No, but I mean, this is what's interesting is it's one of those, it's a little thing. It's kind of like the
not
broken
little thing of your car.
No, it's like the broken windows concept, right? If you keep letting windows break, then crime kind of comes in. But if you keep fixing the windows, the crime stays out. It's these are the things that it's just a deterrent effect, right? It's a deterrent to a business. If you know you're going to get fined if you're hiring illegal immigrants to work illegally, if you are here illegally and driving a car illegally, I mean, that makes your whole life more complicated. And it's all of these things, I think, that result in people self-deporting people. That's why, you know, the border crossings are down, not wanting to come in the first place.
Know,
so
you know, this if this is a crooked cop deal or something, actually purporting to be, is if they check if the vehicle's been stolen or not.
A lot of them apparently had been stolen.
They notify the real owner before it goes to the auction?
Yeah, I think they do.
No, they don't. They just take it themselves to the grocery store.
All right, well, check it. That's a whole... That's not true. That's fake news.
That's not fake news.
They don't take them. They don't take them.
What do you mean you don't take... Have you ever seen what they do take from people?
Okay, I don't want to get into a seizure debate. I agree with you. The seizure laws, but what I'm saying is there are these little things, and the media will make a big thing about the judges are blocking here, the judges are blocking him there. But in the meantime, they're enforcing the laws that exist, and you do that, and all of a sudden the problem starts solving itself to a certain extent. Not all of it, but to a certain extent. Same thing. You arrest people that under the Biden administration, they knew about that illegal drug sex den in Colorado Springs, right?
And they let it,
nightclub. They let it operate without anybody, nobody cared, right? They had
the Colorado Springs police, those are illegal aliens.
Right, we can't arrest them. Then they arrest them. It's like, go figure. You know what
and
I mean?
And the Colorado Springs police chief said, well, we weren't really part of that because they were prohibited by law from enforcing the law.
For the last few minutes, we can kind of go back and feel free, guys, again, to comment or type in, what's your sort of favorite thing in this first 100 days. And I mean, I know there's, I don't mean necessarily one thing, but that you like about the first 100 days.
Jennifer Jordan. Jordan Hudson.
Hudson. Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Bill's girlfriend. I mean, she has been.
Trump has not waited on that.
She has been a massive boost for all mid 70-year-old guys. She's been great. In addition to that, I mean, you got to appreciate the fact the Biden administration said, look, you got to give us some legislation. You got to give us some law. We can't close the border with the present law. And Trump has it so tied down now that, you know, mice have trouble getting into the United States. I mean, he's got that. And I love how he's nationalized, I don't know how long, 20 yards along all of Arizona, all of New Mexico, out to California and stuff. So they can just put the army on that. And it really is locked down. I mean, it's just, now they can figure other ways, take a boat. But amazing. After the Biden administration's lie about it becomes so obvious.
Right. Well, and again, and what he's done is he's trolled them perfectly. So the Democrats end up going down to El Salvador, staying in luxury hotels himself,
yeah.
You know, trying to get some criminal illegal alien to come back. And I mean, and that was just ridiculous. I think my favorite thing that Trump has done was bringing in Elon Musk and Doge.
Oh, yeah.
I think, good. And by one of the reasons it's my favorite, number one, is because it's actually saving money. I mean, every day they talk about stuff they're finding, but they were talking about it, the Treasury, for instance, the Treasury, the one agency you'd think, right. Like when you write checks, there should be like a thing for a memo for what it is, right?
Right.
So there was nothing. That the Treasury is just like paying people out, you know, or what, and it was clearly criminal organizations were getting the money. Yeah. And then they try to get the judges to say, you can't, the treasurer, you're the treasurer, but you can't look at you can't look at that. But the thing is they found so much more than I had any idea. I mean, even because I'm pretty cynical, right? But even the fraud and the abuse and just the general bureaucracy that was in place, I think this has taken a major hit. And that's the kind of thing I think that you can't, yes, fraud will creep in again. Yes, all of that. They'll find other ways. But that is really hard to undo. And I think that has ripple effects that will have even bigger effects. So, for
one
instance,
thing has changed.
Just all those NGOs that were getting the money, right? The USAID, that is now that business model of the Democrats bringing in government money, handing it out to their favorite organizations, who then spend it to help them get elected, and it's just this giant money pit, right, that goes around and around. That's closed off, and that's not going to be easily reestablished, right? And I think that's going
to
hurt.
You have to remember that at one time during these climate conferences, like one in Denmark.
Yeah.
The NGOs, non-governmental and civil society groups, it's really often the same thing, but we're lionized. These wonderful people coming in on their own dime to help save our planet and everything else. Little did you know that all those are government-funded groups. They're not non-governmental. They're just rip-off outfits. And so you say today, you can still say today, nonprofit. Well, this is a nonprofit organization, and you got a crooked, huh?
Well, totally
crooked organization.
They're all going. I was reading a thing like at Five Points, right, for the Juneteenth celebration, all of the corporate sponsorships are going away. Well, it's not like corporations don't care anymore. My guess is that was all government money that was going in there.
Yeah.
Corporations and the foundations, it wasn't their money.
No, no.
And once it's their money, they're like, well, no, we're not giving you guys our money.
Not our money.
From Charlene, the Trump Blitzkrieg. I agree. He just hit him so hard and so fast. And she says, yes, Doge. And then her second, taking on China and reciprocal tariffs. Exactly. Oh, and her third thing, Nikki Haley is not in the administration.
Poor Nikki. Poor Nikki. I mean,
she's not great.
It's, well, you know, who does she remind you of?
Bill Belichick's girlfriend. No. Everyone, see what I have to live with. See what I have to live with, guys. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. On Friday, we're going to have Chris Ruddy. This should be really interesting. He's the CEO of Newsmax. And you've had him on before, and he's a really interesting guy.
He's super.
He's going to be on. He can talk about the tariffs and the new media. And I want to talk about that. Jack Posobiec was the first person to ask a question today at the White House news conference. Oh, and they were all freaking out about that. But this opening up and the White House correspondent.
Well, they had Winston Marshall, my favorite guy. He used to be with Mumford and Son, and they threw him out because he liked some book they didn't like. And he debated Nancy Pelosi at the Oxford Union, did a great job there. And there he's sitting in the front row asking questions. And it was just wonderful.
Well, and I think the White House Correspondents' Dinner was the previous weekend. I didn't realize this, but they had a similar, all the new media organizations, right? The social media influencers, the conservative organizations that were never allowed in, had their own party.
Really?
And this guy from Rolling Stone was saying theirs was like a lot more fun. He said the White House Correspondents' Dinner, he said,
depressed.
It was depressed. And they're trying to figure out how to get invited to the other party now. So I think that Trump has turned all of that on his head, too. So I want to talk to him about that because Newsmax is clearly
that'd
a big part of that.
All right.
Well, that'll do it for us. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.